Okay, so let's just run back through this one more time. We're just talking about sigils here, and we're talking about the use of sigils in corporations and how this magic works. And it's one of the most obscure magic levels of magic in occultism because it's also the most protected. And the reason is because the controllers of the reality don't want their airwaves clogged up with sigils everywhere because people figure out how to use them. And most professional logos that we see on companies are in fact sigils. And the process is that first the corp, which is the dead body, is formed, and then it must become an entity. So life has to be breathed into it. And that's the part of the process of the paperwork. And those are the legal terms. Then this company, which means a group of spirits, is formed. And generally, these are not only the spirits working on other realms, but also the spirits of the people that are working inside the building. And that's the body. So then from there, there's the back end. So whoever is understanding all this kind of magic and what they're doing, what they do is the first thing they do is they cast and they craft and cast a three-dimensional logo that is to represent the company, and it has, and that is the master seal. The first one that's made is called the master seal. And the master seal is made of all of the objects that they want the entity to resonate. So gold does certain things, certain leaves from trees do certain things. It's a resonance process. And what resonance is on this level is anything that contains the same elements or chemicals or even shapes, geometric shapes of the another thing, there is a magnetic link between those things. No matter how weak it may be, that magnetic link, which decreases through distance, still functions as a pipe or a tunnel which connects those two things. So it's like a line between, a visible line between two magnetic objects. For someone who is extremely sensitive, they can see all of those lines. They can see all the connections between everything. That happens sometimes in people's consciousness even. They start seeing the connections between everything through the different eye. So going further, what we figure out is that then this two-dimensional seal, and this is what I have to write about now, is then surrounded by the things that resonate. So there's like reinforcement of the things that resonate what is to be done in this company. So actually they build it out even almost like a body in itself, putting things that should resonate with the head of the company at the head or towards the top. I mean, there could be hair from some of the employees, anything that contains the resonance of what they want to achieve within the company. This is sorcery. So what happens is then when this object is formed and casted, also rituals are done around it to reinforce the, so, because what's happening is that you could see it like a baby, it's a golem. And then it has to constantly be trained. This is what the energy is supposed to be. This is how the energy works. The finer details, because just because you put some roses and some chicken beaks and, you know, things that resonate different kind of energies around something, that something is still a baby. So it has to be constantly reinforced with those intentions in the most intelligent way in order for it to fully carry out its purpose. And this is why the old companies that have lasted long, they're like full grown. That's what's called a giant. So giants are generally skyscrapers more so than they are human beings now. And it's because when the soul chooses to come into physicality, it first chooses the most densest form. Those are stones and crystals. That's why crystals contain so much power, is because that's when the soul is in its densest form. And then what it does is it takes on the characteristics of the geometry that is of the object that it's embedded itself into. So it doesn't know anything greater or any less. It just experiences itself as that. And then as it makes its transition into other life forms that carry different geometry, it experiences itself as that. And at no point is the soul really going back to like and saying, hey, this is the experience that I would rather have and this is the experience that I want. until it reaches a certain level of sentience, which is where instinct cuts off and actual intentions, a person's intentions start to guide them more so than their instinct, right? Notice all those are ends, right? Mm-hmm. Instinct, intention. So this last phase of the sigil magic is when we see these objects everywhere, we get embedded with what the sorcerers are doing behind the scenes with those objects. And that's how it works. Wow. That's, and then, okay, the last thing was, I think, I went through all the legal terminology. So I guess to recap, you know, so you're dealing with seals. And remember we talked about, so the seal has to be broken. But the master seal is somewhere. And it's generally fortified with protection and all these different things that those who are practicing the rituals are endowing it with so that it stays strong. So when corporations compete, the small corporation will fall when one of these larger entities come in and try to absorb it. They'll either absorb it, hey, we're going to buy you out, or now we're competition against each other, and then now there's a war. And this is how this stuff is taking place. And so the more people that this entity has inside of it, the stronger it becomes. And this becomes, this is like simply seen on the physical plane as when you have, let's say the United States has all these different people as citizens, right? And then when they go to war, they have the people and they have the technology, they have the metals, they have the gases. Now, the other thing is that, and here's another deep secret. See, in our spectrum, we read light and color, but there's actually elements that don't have a light or a color to them. And they call them, inert gases. And these are the ones on the periodic table that they know exist, but they can't actually isolate them in most cases. And when they do, they're very volatile. They can cause extreme explosions, even just small amounts of them. And these elements, I know to be basically the most powerful, okay? So when they build a weapon with that kind of stuff inside of it, they have now come into kind of like an agreement with that. They created a resonance, because even to contain it, there has to be some kind of resonance. It has to be attracted, then it has to be contained, and to contain something volatile, it has to be put into something that it either feels is its habitat or is able to contain the pressure of it until it explodes or until they want it to explode. So what I'm doing is I'm reverse engineering the elements of the wonder weapons. Because when you understand then the seals, you say, oh, okay, so what's going on is they're mixing the elements of different things to create something that embodies the essence of what those things are. And the craft is so deep that, you know, even to the shape on the tip of the weapon, to the size of the screws in the centrifuge, all that has to be perfect, because you're still making one giant sigil mandala that is embodying some kind of aspect of something that you wish to carry out, that you're going to have to keep reinforcing, because this, the elements that you're using, if it's going to defeat someone else's same configuration of something like this, has to be more volatile. So this is actually what sorcery is. It's the mastery over elements that are wild and volatile and can kill millions of people. You see what I mean? And this is the volley of power of what we find in this world with entities and the spirits. They're just like elves in the machine to these entities at this point, because they're like, you know, they might as well be the hobbits or the what do you call those other guys, the ogres or the trolls in the mountains, working the quarries to pull out elements that, you know, some much more grander Sauron is going to be using to travel hyperdimensionally across other worlds. And those small spirits never having even the ability to fathom that may be going on, but feels comfortable in this thing that I keep seeing everywhere, which is basically the payment of protection being the key to all of even magic and all this stuff starts, or not just magic, but language and all this stuff starts first with this instinct that one needs protection. And I think that that's actually the reptilian part of the brain that they're talking about. It's before fight and flight, there's I need protection. And that reflection in our consciousness is the slippery slope. Because once that happens, there's all these other forces, including the four elements, that immediately offer protection. And the four elements is the symbol of the cross. And that's why people, since even before the Christianity, they used the cross as a symbol of protection, a magical sigil per se, that expressed, hey, I have some protection, and my protection is fire, earth, wind, water. And I know they're protecting me because if I didn't have fire, if I didn't have earth, if I didn't have wind, if I didn't have water, I wouldn't even be alive. So those are my protectors. So this is a logical, like saying, your protectors are your parents, okay? So the first people realized that their parents were what was protecting them, and this fire, this earth, this wind, this water, each had a unique way of how it was sustaining them, okay? And so that became their protectors, and because of that, that fire and the earth and the wind and the water always held power over them, because if you need these elements in order to survive, then you must live now in the world in which they live. And this is why when we die, we don't need that anymore. We prove to ourselves that we don't need those forces unless we start to trick ourselves in believing that we do. And then we come back into the realities again. So that's why it's also known as the cross, because man is crucified accordingly to the scripture on this cross. And what it's saying is that you die inside of these kind of dimensions and realms. And only until you get beyond them can you live like you truly have these powers and these abilities, and you know, you can defeat death and all this kind of stuff. This is the references that you find in ancient texts and ancient scripture. So now you have more of a scene of what's playing out in the incarnated world with, you know, what they talk about. Oh, these archons, they're huge and blah, 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 and the ones that work for them, but they don't know how to actually describe or fathom the concept of, but where is it? And how does it, like, how did it become about? Like, how does this work? And it's because now over years or decades or thousands of years, things like even statues of like some of those pharaohs that are out there are holding so much energy because every person that comes and gets embedded by that, because it's so colossal. Right away, there's an obeisance, like, oh, okay, this rock is stronger, and it's this, and it's that, and it's this, and then now the person basically has been imprinted upon by the sigil. Now it's in their mind. And then when it's in their mind, now they serve as like a by-proxy magnetic host to it, based on the strength of how much it's in their consciousness. And so that's why when you know how to cut off all those things, you can become free like that. Like you can glide, you just kind of just come right out of your body. Like I've had it happen to me one night I was, or it was around 2-3 in the morning, I just started cutting cords with all the people that were closest to me or I felt were closest to me. And everyone I just visualized and I cut the cord, visualized, cut the cord. And then at a certain point I fell asleep. And then when I went to sleep, I went right out of my body and I went through the sun. And then I came out on the other side and I could see stars in the distance. And then I sent a message out and I said, is there any humans out there? And then it sent back, no, like there's no humans here. That's exactly what it said, there's no humans here. And so I was kind of scared to go into those lights because I was like, okay, there's no humans over there. And then I stayed there for a minute and then I pulled myself out and I woke up. So it just brings more credibility to step by step by step by step what's really happening, because we have to realize that we're on a realm where there are men here that know all of this stuff already. Like this was their school. So instead of them being trained in all the BS that we're trained in and them having to unlearn that and then learn this, many of them been born in it, and many of them have achieved the philosopher's stone, which is basically the ability to keep carrying memories over through different lives and actually animate yourself as another life form. And that's why in Harry Potter they talk about this Horcrux. and that this entity is basically putting itself into seven different objects, I believe it was, and though each of those objects are scattered across the plains. And as long as no one ever destroys all those objects, it'll always live in one of those objects and be able to keep reanimating itself. Now again, we're talking about knowledge that actually would be rather useful to what the preservation of one's soul across the continuum and the chasm and all the other stuff that seeks to rip it apart. So we're seeing that, just as this Baba was writing, in the fourth dimension, the most difficult thing is to not allow your powers to actually consume you by the utilization of your powers in order to cause phenomena in the physical realm, in order to keep increasing your power and strength to battle these forces that have in themselves gotten started billions of years, if even further, before you even understood what was going on or understood what was going on. But at the same time, there's always an ideal as time goes on that one can unlock something that becomes even greater than what they have been able to achieve thus far. And that is actually still relevant to the individual because it will be their crucible. It'll be their chamber that is responsible for trying to hold that force. You see? So if that force, meaning that in the alchemical formulation of the person's consciousness, they can actually become a container for the greatest force that's ever been revealed to this reality. But they would still be responsible for containing it. You see what I mean? Because at any point, this thing could run through stages and completely implode the person. It could become unmanageable and contained. Like just like when you have a wonder weapon, it starts to tempt you to scare other people with it if they're not doing what you want them to do. You see what I mean? So they're already deep and headlong into that, and that creates karma. And then this is actually what they write about. This is the whole problem with sorcery, is that in the end, you end up with so many entities that are basically attacking you and causing you strife and turmoil because they want you to fulfill the agreement that is made between them, because that's them basically being still in childlike phase. A man playing in God's cabinet or the Supreme Being's cabinet of creation, and then not understanding how to take care of these entities through the whole process of them actually becoming from not being born in a woman, think about what's happening, to somehow becoming mature enough to be able to manage their own power. Because they have their own power and their own reason too, which they've been taught. But they don't have a mother. They have a sorcerer as their parent. And generally, this is a man who had disassociated himself with the divine feminine in most cases. That's what a sorcerer is. That's why a magician begins with ma, because it's one who associates themselves with flesh and the things of the flesh. While the sorcerer is pulling power from other people's spirits. That's their source. You see what I mean? And that's why it involves fire, because the spirits are a fire, right? So this is, again, this is why you can read the timeline of the greatest magicians and sorcerers and seeing what their fate is. But who has the mindset to contain that kind of knowledge and then still come up with an equation that was greater than theirs? You see what I mean? Like, when I put all this stuff in, it's like, it's just calculating it all and saying, okay, here was the result. And then I say, well, why was that the result? They say, okay, because when you bring a life form into life, if you don't bring it through a womb, it doesn't have warmth. So in that, it becomes cold. And that's what more or less the reptile really is, in that in the chemicals that are running through it. Not whole reptile, because there's more things running through that than just those traits. But those traits are in a high measure. So that high measure causes a greater resonation towards coldness and something that does not actually think before it goes out and kills something, before it goes and damages something or hurts something, or desires what it needs more than the preservation of the reality that other life forms have to live in. So it's like basically a person like these businesses, their whole priority is just to get money. And so that, and they don't give anything back. You see what I mean? They're not developed. And that's why I don't even understand. It's all got to be a spell anyway for people to be confused to something that pushes out energy all the time to try to give people knowledge and wisdom and techniques and all this stuff so they can just help themselves out. And then they never contribute to something like that. Yet, the Jabberwocky or the Juggernaut or whatever you want to call it is running rampant, and people are contributing all their energy to it, their money, their time, their children, everything, and to show that they actually really serve it. So then this service, though, is so obscure, the contracts. That's where this common law and the straw man and all this comes back in, because the contracts are like all fine print. You don't actually see the sigil itself anymore. The sigil is so small. It's in the bottom, in a corner, in a micro print. Like, remember how, and that's what's next, is to pull the documents and go over them with a micro lens, because what you'll probably find in the dot somewhere is the entity. Because that's what the whole James Bond thing was about, that they would have to go to the microfilm and then they would have to get under there and then, it's right there. It wouldn't be something you would see directly because the eye is not that powerful. And there it is there. I mean, and we see it in some of the bigger formats, but it'd be interesting to drill into some of these real, real deep documents. And so what we have then, it's like, I got to still check out what the exchequer actually is, but there's some kind of box. And in that box is the original agreements. And this box is sealed, right? And then the rituals are done around this box. And that's kind of what the Kaaba is, which people don't understand. Like, there's something in there that this ritual is being done by, and it's sealing continuously the navel, because that's what's known, the navel of the earth. So thus, if the navel, the umbilical cord is not open, there can't be any nutrients coming from wherever the next space is, the mother, to us. So that's what a seal does. It stops. It cuts off. Like, we have to think about this because it could get very complex with the seals. So they got all these designs and all these different things. That's a pretty good recording. So they got all these designs and all these different things. And so we get enamored by that. And we don't realize that, wait a minute, what is the whole purpose of a seal? It's to stop something, to lock something. So when we unlock these seals, we actually open up the energy that's supposed to flow through. And if we don't unlock them, the reality will basically get so under pressure, everyone will eventually kill each other. It will be mayhem. Because there will be, that's why they have billions of souls here now, for a centrifuge, or in this case, a crucible. The more, it's like bacteria, the more in that chamber that those bacteria keep, well, this is almost like kefir. It's like any kind of pressurization process. The more of it replicates, the more the pressure. Now, inside, it's chaos. But for one welding something like that, it's becoming more powerful and more powerful and more powerful. And long as it can be contained, then it's in its interest to keep more continuously replicating. And that's what we're in. Like, shouldn't be that many people on the planet. Like, they should be transcending, coming in and coming out. There shouldn't actually be very big gaps between when you see spirits actually leave and new spirits come in. Like, that should be very transparent when the flow is right. You see what I mean? Mm-hmm. It would be the same as any really fertile or abundant entity that you would see so much of its flowing and fertility. It would be on everything. So this is just a little insight, like, just to show people that, just in case we think that we understand what's going on, we've only just began. And what this allows us to do is it allows us to share this information. What's been created is we can share this information, and each person is thinking about that. And we're in a tense, like an organic quantum system. So when people are thinking about it, it actually enables me to think about it with more space to ultimately come up with a solution. You see what I mean? So if someone else says, hey, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. And they start thinking about it through resonance. Now we're thinking about it. You see what I mean? And this is why it's just, It's our intelligence level. We're not realizing what's actually happening, because we could all be thinking about something, but if no one's smart enough to say, hey, so if we're all thinking about it collectively, we can come up with a solution very fast. And the solution doesn't always have to be us crowdfunding and all that. The real masters are able to extract the solution right from the source. So it's not even in physicality yet. So it's still actually in the inception point. It's still before physicality. So that's where you would go when you would grab this knowledge. You would say, okay, incubator, what do we got? And the incubator would say, this is the solution. Because as you keep rolling through this, then you start thinking, well, is it possible to design something that unlocks those seals from afar? And this is why that, because the lines that they're going down can be drawn in. You see what I mean? You could probably go and put things in those lines when you go to sleep. And if you send in the right codes and essence, you could unclog the whole thing. You see what I mean? Like, this is just a logical process of how things work. A plumber can visualize this. This is not all metaphysical and what they call Keclonic 15 dimension, all this crap. This is as simple as something a plumber can see a block in a drain and start saying, well, what does Drano do? And what is it made out of? Now, how can we cross that over into the physical? Or let's say in this case, how can we cross it over into the spiritual, to where we unclog where these areas have seals, from the exchequers to the debt systems to the navel of the earth to its other chakra centers, so that way we can get the hell out of here? Because these things, well, get in here, I would say, because and get them into this, into whatever they need to be in. And what it seems like to me in analyzing this and not just being a judge, we have a bunch of children with no mother. And these children are not weak. Because of the experience that they've gone through, it's like if you choke a child every day and then somehow it survives and it's like 21 and 26, you're not going to be dealing with just some mentally damaged. Many of them will be, but the one that's not will be a tyrant. It will be a force that others would have a hard time dealing with, because it survived something that most have never even been put through and wouldn't even fathom what it would be like to be put through something like that. But somehow it survived, and now it's running things because it has more of that dominance and cruelty than other life forms that are available in the system. Like, that's why these warlike tribes and everything were the ones that were winning, because people weren't even thinking about going to war to the level that they were. They were like hanging heads up and scaring people, and people even that started fighting realized that, shit, they're way more crazier than us. We're just, you see what I mean? So the thing is that you have to draw from a higher system. You can't even try to play games. You can't even try to, like, you know, build your own entity and see if you're going to go play Rockin' Robots with this thing. It's about going over its head, realizing what it actually needs to attract it. Do you see what I mean? So now the same way that it came in, the same way it's got to go out. What is it lacking? Because whatever it's lacking, it's going to be attracted to that. That's how we are. Whatever we don't have. We don't have money, we become attracted to money. We don't have a wife, we become attracted to women. That, or whatever. That's how it works. So it's the same principle. See, that's what the master mages, they call Rabmag, is capable of doing, because it knows all these forces, and even the thunders and all these different things, it's almost comical for that kind of entity. You see what I mean? Because it's no longer a human being. You see what I mean? Because it's like you're aware of something so much more higher. You just only see the ignorance in all the life forms that are not aware of that. And then, but that ignorance is not to judge them, it's to have compassion over them. Because no matter how they act out, you already know the whole process anyway. You know that they messed around with the sigil. You know that they stole the language, the holy language, from the stars. They tried to draw down the stars. They didn't let the custodians, the people who were teaching them how to do that, keep teaching them how to do that. They decided to take the knowledge like gypsies and form this tarot card so they can get some money. And then they end up cursing themselves because the power is equally the poison. And then now they're over here stuck on an external currency-based system, like wanting to get more money, more money, more money, can't think about anything but money, but they don't have no kundalini, no spirit, no power. And then they have all the knowledge, so they turn themselves over to the sigils, and the sigils are them trying to create their own gods and get everyone to worship these gods in a system that doesn't move because it's stagnant, because it doesn't even have a fertile component. Because they're so busy trying to remove the power from nature and put the power in themselves, they're only creating life forms that don't actually have nature within them. So the only thing that happens after a while for a person in that condition is they have to go back to nature. You see what I mean? Because nature will try to mend, it's the only thing that can mend all of that. No amount of person's words, talking, whatever. So that's, you know, that's the whole top-down system that I would say is going on right now in regards to just how they're working the magic and what it's getting, what it's got them into.